and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we thank you afresh for this opportunity to come before your presence and in the gathering of the saints. Now we pray that the Holy Ghost would do as only he can do through the text. Meet us where we are. Lift us to that place that you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give God some praise as you're seated in his presence. As we prepare our study today, certainly I want to challenge us as we go into this word and with the relevance of the word of God, which is what I always love. God meets us where we are in our circumstances and situations. One of the things I've learned many years ago about the prophets and the priests and those whom God used, he many times used them in the midst of their trials, their tribulations, experience, etc., to tell the story and to minister it out of their own concerns. Hosea was one such prophet whom the Lord gave him a prostitute and made him fall in love with her and gave him an unending love for her. And she went out and had three different children by three different men and on and on, and then was sold on an auction, and he went and bought her back. And when he had gotten through with that whole experience, he said, now you know how I feel. He said, my people have done the same thing to me. He said, but now you can speak to them out of your own experience with passion and with power, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so many times we live what it is God wants us to say, and that's why he said, I give you pastors according to mine own heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding, because it becomes relevant to those to whom that man or woman of God speaks to the people and out of the concerns out of which he ministers. So I'm challenged today to deal with Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. I want you to turn your Bibles there, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. For just a little while, we want to focus our attention on this teaching from the message, Living Through Loss. Living Through Loss. Everyone experiences loss in life, whether it be a job, a home, a business, possessions, or even loved ones. Your vision of your future can be drastically altered by these experiences. A lot of things happen, you know, plans change, schedules are rearranged, hopes are deferred, dreams are deferred. And you feel like, how do I go on from here? How do I pick up the pieces? How do I deal with life as I had known it before, knowing that certain experiences of loss alters our perceived vision, our perceived future? One of the things that I want to hopefully help us understand, because all of our losses come in various areas and arenas of our lives, at various areas and times of our lives. But one thing is clear about a loss. It always leaves you void of what you've had or known before. Now, here's what God wants you to do, to know how to pick up the pieces and what to do with them once you have experienced loss, especially of a great nature. First thing you do is this. Seek God. Seek God. You remember when Job lost all that he had? And the very first thing that he did was he sought the Lord. It's in the first chapter of Job. He sought the Lord. He didn't seek family, friends, and other folk And while they are comforts and while they are blessings, nobody can do you like God can. And there are some times when we don't always understand what God is doing, when He's doing it, or why He's doing it. And sometimes He revealed to us. But regardless of it, it never minimizes the pain or the suffering or the void that you feel in spite of that loss. There's another word I want you to see about that as well. I want you to look at Matthew, very familiar verse of Scripture, 6:33. You don't actually have to look. I want you to write them down, go back through them, and study them in your own private time. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And what's going to happen? All the things that you have need of, He's going to add them to you. Nobody can add to you what you have need of, both underneath the skin and above the skin, but God. And so we need to recognize that when we have an experience where life is altered and things will never ever be the same again, here's what you do need to realize. They will either be better or they will be worse, depending on your decision, depending on what you do next, depending on how you refocus. So the first thing is you need to seek God, because when you seek God, there are things that happen in the reality of that. You enter His presence, you invite Him in to your situation. Now that's important, because when you look at Luke 18:1, the Bible says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Amen. Listen, I don't care how strong you are, how long you've been with the Lord, the enemy will throw some shots at you that you think you'll be able to handle, but then you'll find yourself flat on your back. But here's what you need to know, it ain't over. And if you're not taken out, then you still have a chance to turn things around, even if it's within your own heart and your own spirit. And so when you learn to pray, God fortifies your spirit man. And when He fortifies your spirit man, before you realize anything, He's given you strength to walk through things you thought. One, either you could or you could not. And this thing is the emotions. That's why we can't build our focus and our future on emotions, because they're changed too quick on you. Have you ever seen somebody, they were laughing 1 second and in the midst of the laughing, they turned into a cry, and you're like, what is going on here? I mean, you know, the emotions are too unstable to base anything on. That's why we base our feelings on facts. What God said, in spite of what we feel, we can adjust our feelings by the facts of God's Word. So we want to seek God first. We want to embrace Him. We want to make it clear, God, we know that You have a purpose, You have a plan, and for at this point or juncture in our lives, we need to seek You as to what do we do from here. How do we go on from here? How do we transition from here? When Isaiah in the 6th chapter says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. That was obviously something between him and God that didn't allow him, permit him to see God the way God wanted to be seen by him. And sometimes it's the removal of things very precious, people very precious, who may not be intending to block our view, but it may be what we see. And it may be the fact that we don't look around and we don't see God the way God wants us. But when that thing or that person is removed, then there is nothing blocking us. How many of you know God is a jealous God? And God will share His glory with nobody. Not that belongs to Him. There is a glory He gives to us and shares with us as relates to connecting with Him. But that belongs to Him is for Him and Him alone. And so it was in that year that he recognized the true essence of fellowship with God on a level that could not be explained in any other way other than personally experiencing God for himself. Well, the second thing, what do? We submit or surrender the situation to God. Why is that important? Because we are to cast our cares upon him. And we can't cast our cares upon him until we submit ourselves. And listen to this. Many times we will submit ourselves, but we won't submit our circumstances. In other words, we'll submit ourselves, we'll cry out to God and so forth, but we won't submit our situation to God. And listen, it's our situation that we really need the help with. See, we'll submit it to God, but okay, God will meet our needs. But even in meeting our needs, if we don't submit our circumstance or our situation to Him, then He cannot take care of the source of our sorrow until we submit to God. And so as a result of that, God will give you peace this moment, but if you're still holding on to the sorrow of your situation, after you've got peace for this moment, then that situation resurfaces again, and there you are crying and whining and bawling all over again, because the truth of the matter is you never gave Him what you should have given to Him. And that was the situation. Cast your cares upon Me because I care for you is His word. And so it is only in those times, listen at this, because whether again you've lost the job, now you don't have income coming in, you've got bills to pay, a mortgage to pay, et cetera, et cetera. So you don't know what to do, don't know where to turn, don't have a savings to sustain you. That's a major loss that affects your future. And so sometimes when we say, Lord, help me, and God gives us a peace that everything's going to be all right, but we haven't given Him our situation, then that peace begins to flee from us because we've not totally yielded everything to Him. You lose your home. Now, again, it affects how life is for you. So now you've got to restructure everything else. You lose your possessions. You lose a loved one. However and whomever it is, it all affects what we know as life in the vein that we know it in. And so sometimes when God allows or permits things to be removed, it is so to refocus us so that He can put us in a place far greater than what we have just experienced. And a lot of times it's not through but the arena of loss that we really find the gain that God really wants for us. Now listen to this again. It's important because when you look at this word and begin to realize that you're to submit and to surrender yourself, here's what happened. God will bear your burden because that's what He promised He'll do. God will sustain you and God will give you peace. Let me write these scriptures for you or read these scriptures and you write them down. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him for He cared for you. Philippians 4:7 says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, listen to this, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, one of the things that I love about it is when we surrender and submit to Him, His word says He'll keep our hearts and our minds. Amen. Which means we won't freak out and lose it and just, you know, don't know how to handle it and just go into this place where we become void of feelings and we go on what's called automatic pilot. We become dull, life becomes humdrum, mundane, and we wind up being in a mode where we just get by and exist. That's not what God wants for us. That's not what God wants us to deal with as believers in Him. Let's go back to this word right quick before I go to the next point. The Bible says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. Now keep in mind, now we're dealing with living through loss and understanding that if the things that you have come to depend on, the people you've come to depend on are no longer there, God is still there and God has an answer. Look again as he goes on, neither shall fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive shall fail and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. Now look at this in this light. He's not dealing with one trial, one tribulation, one source. He's dealing with a multiple sources, multiple source of issues and those things that sustain and pertain to life. He's dealing with something not that just happened one time. He's talking about if all of these things happen and they happen at one time, how many of us many times can deal with a major blow at a time? But when they start coming back to back to back to back, when you can't hardly get your breath, like Job, before he could get through, another servant rushed in. And after that one was through, another rushed in. I mean, man, many of us would hit the floor and faint because we don't have the wherewithal to trust God in those kind of situations. And so when you begin to realize this, he's saying, listen, if all of these things happen to you at one time, what do you do then? If bad just keeps getting worse, and worse gets worse, what do you do when it's all said and done? Let's look at the rest of the verse. The Bible says in verse 18, yet, yet. Somebody say yet.
Yes.
See, you got to have the power to end the lip. The devil's going to do what he's got to do. God's going to permit the enemy to do what he wants to do. But the only reason why he permits him is because he knows what's in you. And he permitted him to do everything that he needed to do to Job and to you and to me and to everybody else. But here's what he knew, that he would not allow more to be put on you than you could bear. And after your every situation, be it one or multiple that hits your life, he gives you the opportunity to say yet. Yet. I want you to remember that when stuff starts happening to your life, you need to be able to say yet, because yet precedes the rest of this verse. Listen, yet comes before I will rejoice. So it's not until you get your mind right. It's like saying so. It's like saying what? It's like getting you ready so that you say, ah, look, I know how this story is going to end. I know it looks bad right now, but listen, stay tuned. You knock me down, to be continued. It's not over till God says it's over. And when you can say yet, listen, this is another thing that I love about it. This is not connected with anybody else saying yet with you. Did you just get what I said? So if nobody else can rejoice and praise and give him glory or understand where you are, if you can say yet, what follows next? I. See, God is not expecting somebody else to praise for you, to rejoice for you. God is expecting you to rejoice for you. Yet I will. It's an act of my will, not how I feel. Because listen at this. You're going to recognize the importance of this, because the next part is so important as well. Not only must we seek God, and not only must we submit and surrender our situation to God, but then the third thing is we need to make a sacrifice of praise. And here's where this verse 18 makes it so clear. Yet I will rejoice, listen, in the Lord. I will joy in who? The God of my salvation, which literally translates as deliverer. So the God of my deliverance is my deliverer. And because I know he's going to deliver me, I've got joy in the midst of my sorrow. Because while I in the flesh, and I can't take discount the fact that I am in the flesh, because I am in the flesh. And the flesh is usually the first responder. So if you see me crying, don't think I lost it, because tears come down, because that's the flesh. But underneath the flesh is the spirit. And listen, it's all right to cry, because Jesus wept. Not because he couldn't do nothing about the situation, but it's a human response. So let the devil know, if you see tears, you better watch out. How many of you been in school and used to see some folk that used to be quiet? And somebody that didn't know that quiet person, didn't know they had another side to them. And they take all of that joning and all that stuff they did, and then all of a sudden tears start rolling down. And they think they done got weak and they about to do something. And somebody said, look, you better leave them alone now, because they ain't playing. Because then they come out their box on them, and before you know it, they beat down. Well, see, that's what the believer has got to know. When the devil has done everything that he has done and the flesh responds and tears start coming down, it don't mean you're defeated. It means you are experiencing a natural phenomena in the flesh. And because you are human, sometimes that is the first response. But after that, you brush the tears away and you refocus on how this story is going to end. You don't have to wait till the battle is over to start rejoicing in the Lord, because God has got this thing fixed. Look again at what he says. I will rejoice. Now listen, not necessarily in my situation. We got to be clear about where the rejoicing is coming from and going to. In the Lord.
Job rejoiced in the Lord, not in his situation. This man had lost 10 children in one day. You think he's going to rejoice in that? No, that ain't nothing to rejoice in. He lost property. He lost cattle and everything that he knew to be a lifestyle normality. And in spite of that, he rejoices in the Lord. Here's what he knew. God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you never make a mistake. And while I can't make sense out of this situation, or why this doesn't seem to equate underneath the skin what you're doing, what I do know is you're in control of this situation. And so because I know it is your will, I'm going to rejoice in you. And see, a lot of times God just allow things to happen when the enemy and he have spoken and the enemy has betted against you that you won't make it through this and you won't make it through that. God won't put evil on you, but he'll let the enemy do it. But in the midst of doing it, God will brace you and know that the enemy is limited to as far as much as he can go. And so at that point is always a place of success for the believer. It's always a place of growth and development. It's always a place where God ushers you to a new level at. And that's the place where you need to know your strength comes from. That's where you need to know God has prepared you to go to another level. That's where you need to know that God is allowing what he's allowed to take you where he wants to take you to. And here's what you need to know. Sometimes he can't take you where you need to go with certain people and certain things. And so sometimes he has to remove certain people and certain things to take you where he wants to take you to. And you've got to learn how to live through loss. Because what you've got to realize is once you learn to live, not exist, not get by, not be on automatic pilot, where you're in this dull, numb, mundane mode, but where you're in that point and place where you've cried and you've released those tears, and where now you've focused your faith and you're no longer living in fear, and you're saying, God, I'm waiting on you for the next level experience. I believe the best is yet to come, so I'm going to rejoice in you, and my joy is going to be in you. Listen, joy is always connected with Jesus. It's always connected with God. It's always connected with the essence of our source. And so the instance we realize that our situations don't bring us joy, it brings us happiness. That the real source of our joy comes from the Lord. And so if we get connected, reconnected to the source of our joy in the midst of sorrow, it's an unexplainable phenomenon. How he not only gives you peace, but he'll give you joy. And folk are wondering why you're smiling, because the situation is sorrowful. Yeah. Yeah. But you're not connected to the situation. You're connected to the source. Yeah. And that's what brings us to a new place and makes us different from the world. Yes, Jesus said, listen, if a man take your coat, give him your cloak also. You suffer loss, listen, you let him know. Because you know who your source is, you're going to get this and a whole lot more back. You don't handle loss the same way the world handles it. You learn to live through loss because your lostness at this point is simply a setup for the blessings that God has earmarked for your life. And sometimes, listen at this, you've got to leave before you can arrive. Sometimes you got to let go before you can get back. And so you got to know that God always positions the believer for the best that he has for them, no matter what area or arena that your loss may be in. Listen at this, and I'm coming to a close. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice evermore. Talking about the sacrifice of praise now. Pray without ceasing. In everything, somebody say everything. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. Do you know that there's nothing that happens to you is not a part of God's will? Now, God doesn't will evil to happen to you, but a part of his will is permitting it to happen. Because in the midst of his permitting it, listen, the devil intentions are evil. Yeah. But God's intentions are good. The devil's intentions are to destroy you. God's intentions are to develop you. And so when you begin to recognize that God's motive and the devil's motives are different when God permits these things to happen, in the end, you always come out the winner and the victor from God's point of view. So I want you to see something else. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say,
rejoice.
Listen, man, when you connect it to your source, you're going to have a little sorrow, but not enough to keep you from rejoicing. Not enough to keep you from praising. Not enough to keep you from focusing. Not enough to keep you from going in that place and in that direction and in that vein that God has prepared for you. I want you to see this. Psalm 30:5 says, for his anger endured but a moment. In his favor is life. Now, here's the part that we hold on to. We'd have missed the first part of that. Psalm 30:5. We missed the part we ought to hold on to. You know, we hold on to weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Can I tell you why joy cometh in the morning? Well, let's go to 30:5 in the beginning. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. It's in the fact that his favor is in life that you're not destroyed, that the enemy did not win, that the morning does come. And so our joy comes because we are connected with the source who is able to bring joy to us in a morning experience. And so when we see the break of day, and it starts off because many times when you've been up all night long, and the night seems to stretch beyond, minutes seems to turn into hours. And it seems like the morning won't ever come. Oh, but if you just hold on. It may seem like it's taking a lot longer to come, but I got news for you. It's on the way. And you don't need a big full sunlight to start feeling the relief that morning brings. Because there's something about the birth of a new day. It seems to bring with it strength. It seems to bring with it encouragement. It seems to bring with it help. It seems to bring with it hope. It seems to bring with it a new opportunity to do things differently and see things differently than the day before. And so, my brothers and sisters, when we do that, we understand that God knows all about grief. For any loss in our lives that is weighty and worthy of those emotions, he knows about it. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely he had borne our griefs. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Can I tell you the truth of the matter is you really aren't bearing your grief as a child of God. You have the essence of grief. You really can't handle your grief. See, when people who are not connected with God commit suicide, jump off buildings and do whatever it is, it's because they can't handle the burden of grief. We have someone who has borne our grief. And listen to this. The reason I know it is because the stuff we have trouble handling now almost seems to be too much for us. So the record is clear. He has borne our grief. Listen to this. And carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Here is my point. When you realize that you only have the essence of grief and not the reality of grief, then you need to begin to rejoice because Jesus has taken the heavy load of your grief and borne it for you. So now you ought to turn your pity party into a praise party. Because what you really couldn't do yourself, he's already done it for you. The essence of it. How many times have you walked into the house and smelt the aroma of some good food? You knew it was good without even tasting it, didn't you? See, some of you just get the essence of what's going on. Ain't even tasted of it. Y'all catch that on your way home. Listen at this. I'm going to give you this again. God offers you help, healing, and hope. Write these down and I'm through. God will comfort you. This is why we seek him. This is why we submit and surrender the situation to God and sacrifice of praise to him. He will sustain you. God will enable you. God will empower you.